Psalm 14. Fools say in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror. For God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Be present with us in the preaching of your word. We may hear among these words and our own reflections your word offered for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's back to school time. Is everybody ready? Even though I haven't been in school for a long time, there's still something about this time of year that gets me in a learning and thinking about learning mode. I found a few back-to-school quotes to set our tone this morning. Mark Twain once said, "I have never let my schooling interfere with my education." Paul Merton, "My school days were the happiest days of my life, which should give you some indication of the misery I've endured over the past 25 years. From Norm Crosby, "My school was so tough, the school newspaper had an obituary section." "Smartness runs in my family. When I went to school, I was so smart, my teacher was in my class for 5 years. Yogi Berra, "I'm not going to buy my kids an encyclopedia. Let them walk to school like I did." If there were no schools to take the children away from home part of the time, the insane asylums would be filled with mothers and fathers. This is from Edgar Cowan. And Ray LeBlanc, "You learn something every day if pay attention." Our psalm for today has learning as part of its theme as well. At least it starts out talking about fools, and when we think of fools, we think of folks who aren't very smart or don't learn very well. And the kind of foolishness that is the focus seems pretty foolish. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. What could be more foolish? Especially from the perspective of a group of good-going, church-going folks like us, than saying there is no God. Do we define that as atheism? Most of us get our hackles riled up when someone talks about being an atheist. We can make long and detailed lists about what a lack of belief in God is doing to destroy our world, our values. We like to point out what's wrong with everyone else or with our society. And on the surface, that kind of looks like what our psalmist is doing when he's talking about these fools who say there is no God. They're corrupt. They do abominable deeds. They've all gone astray. It's really pretty gloom and doom summarized when he says, there is no one who does good. No, not one. And yet, we need to be a little careful about getting up on our high horse. Stan Mask challenges encourages us to look a little deeper at what the psalmist is talking about. We assume he's talking about avowed atheists out of the world, but what if it is about practical atheists in the heart of the church? Practical atheists may say there is a God, but they act as if there is no God. Notice the psalmist says that fools say there is no God in their hearts. They're not saying it out loud. They're saying it in the secret places of their interior lives, from which issue all the actions and words of their exterior lives. They are Christian in name, but not so much in practice. Thus, what the psalmist is offering caution about is not denying the existence of God. Rather, he's talking about the problems that come from not living according to the values and the heart of God. Ouch. That hits a little close to home. I think I do that every single day. I do that when I toss and turn at night, fretting about all of my problems that I can make a long list of. I'm acting like a practical atheist because I'm fretting instead of praying, instead of turning to God for help, instead of allowing God to comfort me or offer me wisdom. I do not live according to the values and heart of God when I allow myself to get caught up in gossip. I do not live according to the values and heart of God when I allow the seeds of bitterness and negativity to invade my spirit. I do not live according to the values and heart of God when I don't want to look at how my behavior might affect others. When I want to do only things that benefit me or that are comfortable for me, instead of considering what might be best for other people, or thinking about ways that I can offer assistance and comfort and help and support to other people. I do that when I push God to the margins of my life, when I'm trying to figure out my priorities and how I want to organize my life. There may be few who deny God with their lips, but many who deny God with their lives. And that's a pretty foolish way to live, because that means I'm separating myself from God. Things don't tend to go very well when I'm separated from God. As Walter Brueggemann asserts, where the Creator is not honored, creaturely life disintegrates and degenerates, and the end result is a life filled with terror. No guards, no limits or boundaries, no support for life beyond our own hopeless efforts. When I'm living my life as if there is no God, I'm often controlled by fear. As verse 5 of Psalm 14 puts it there, "There they shall be in great terror." Fear and dread are these powerful influences. They have this way of taking on a life of their own and permeating everything. For some reason, I seem to be into quotes this week, so listen to some quotes about fear. Les Brown: "Too many of us are not living our dreams because we are living our fears." Seneca: "Where fear is, happiness is not." "Fear can keep us up all night long, but faith makes one fine pillow." Dale Carnegie: "You can conquer almost any fear if you will only make up your mind to do so. For remember, fear doesn't exist anywhere except in the mind." And from Catherine Patterson: "To fear is one thing. To let fear grab you by the tail and swing you around is another. Fear is not one of those God values. Fear is not part of the heart of God. In fact, an essential part of living a life of faith is casting out fear. It's about refusing to allow fear to control us or our lives. Have you all heard about Yassine's Falafel House in Knoxville? Yassine and his family came here as refugees from Syria. And at first, it was very difficult for him. He could not speak English. He didn't understand the culture. He struggled to find employment. And in order to keep from feeling useless, he started selling falafel sandwiches like he knew in Syria outside on the street after services at the mosque he attended there in Knoxville. His sandwiches were so popular, the imam at the mosque suggested that Yassine open a restaurant. And together they found a location near Market Square in downtown Knoxville. Yassine shares that there was a time when he was very afraid. Because of things happening in the news, he was afraid that someone would attack him or his business because of his Muslim faith and his immigrant background. Was he still welcome? Was this the place he should be? His friends from other places kept warning him, "You should leave America. You are not welcome there. You need to get away." But then Yassine's daughter was born, and as he looked into her eyes, he realized she was an American, and that he believed in the dream of America. And he resolved to live his life in the spirit of that dream, and to maintain his faith in that dream, no matter what was happening around him. He was determined not to be guided. Out that spirit at his restaurant. There's a sign as you enter that says all sizes, all cultures, all ages, all sexes, all religions, all types, all beliefs, all people are safe here. He hands out his falafel sandwiches to the homeless who gather outside the Salvation Army and Knox Area Rescue Mission because he knows what it's like to be down and out. Hires newly arrived refugees to work with him in his restaurant because he remembers how difficult it was for him in his early days to find work. It seems like Yassine has made the discovery that when you're afraid, it's hard to love. And when you're not loving, you're not living as if you believe in God. Because above all other aspects and characteristics, God is love. If we're not living our lives by love, we're pretty foolish. And the psalmist connects this way of living as foolish people with a lack of moral values. The moral values he brings to the forefront are not ones that are usually emphasized when we're discussing what's moral and what's not. What the psalmist focuses on as the most important moral values are the ways that we treat one another, and especially the ways that we treat the poor and those in need. He speaks of evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread. He speaks against those who would confound the plans of the poor. It's foolish. That's not where God is. It's not God's heart. It's foolish. Because whether we act like it or not, this is still God's word. It's foolish because whether acknowledged or not, God is still very much active and working. God still governs. God's business. Even in a world distorted by our foolishness, is is to guard, is to keep the poor. We're either with God or we're not. And things go a lot better for us and for our world when we're with God. Let us pray. Gracious God, forgive our foolishness. Forgive us for those times when we fail to acknowledge you and your role in our hearts and our lives. When we think we can do things better according to our wishes and desires, rather than seeking and considering your will. Forgive us when we get caught up in the foolishness around us that seeks to divide us, that seeks to lead us to judge one another, that seeks to lead us to look down. To be your people, to proclaim our faith in you by how we live, by what we allow in our hearts, by what we do to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together.